Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I think we need to go get that little scene from The Dark Knight where the Joker says, "And here we go." Right? Because, quite frankly, it has started. Welcome inside the playbook, everybody, for a Wednesday. Glad to be with you. Wasn't sure that I was going to be here today, but not because of the, foot and a half to almost 2 feet of snow that's fallen and hit us. Here in southern and central New England, but largely because I had some college basketball travel this week, and my flight was canceled today. Team took off yesterday, if you didn't hear the show yesterday, so I knew that I was kind of up in the air for getting out today, and nobody's getting out anywhere today, so I'm trying to get out first thing tomorrow morning for Morgantown, West Virginia, for a basketball game tomorrow night. Traveling on day of game is not ideal because you always run the risk of getting stuck somewhere, but we're just going to have to go for broke tomorrow, so hopefully it will work out. In the meantime, it's like, well, then let's talk some football. So we're here today, and we're here to talk some football, and glad to be with you. We're going to get to several things on the program today, not the least of which will be conference calls, Rex Ryan's conference call with members of the Patriots media. We will have for you inside the playbook in a little bit. I know we also have some other interviews, of which Danny Woodhead, I believe, is also going to be a part of that. And there are probably a couple of others as well. Not entirely certain who spoke at the podium or who spoke in the locker room today, but we'll be getting that to you here very, very shortly. And we're going to make that a part of our program today like we did yesterday. Quite frankly, we had all of last week to talk about, you know, the Patriots leading up and what was going to go on. We talked about possibly which team would come in. And now that it's the Jets, this is the third time that the Patriots have played the Jets this year. And so we kind of know what the Jets have to offer. We know that the Jets are going to run the football. We know that the Jets are one of the better running teams in the NFL. We also know that the Jets ran for over 150 yards against the Patriots, you know, a month ago, and the Patriots still beat them 45-3. So I'm not entirely certain here where running the football is going to be a huge factor if the Patriots are doing what the Patriots should be doing. Now, I don't want that to mean to say that the Jets have no shot, because they do. And that, of course, is the scary thing if you look at it from the Patriots' point of view. But the fact remains is that it certainly sounds like sound game planning if you say, well, we're going to run the ball. We're going to try to, you know, go for five, six, 7 minute drives, you know, hopefully punch it in for a touchdown and keep the ball out of Brady's hands. That seems to be the way that can, and then when Brady has the ball, we're going to blitz the hell out of him. And that seems to be a loose blueprint on, you know, how you take your best shot of the Patriots, but I think it's not quite as simple as that. And I think the Patriots have proven that if you try something as simple as that, you're going to get beat one way or the other. So, it's going to have to take a combination of things. The one thing that I think will keep the Jets in the ballgame on Sunday is the ability not only to hold the ball away from Tom Brady, but to keep the Patriots off balance on both sides of the ball. The more I think about this, and again, you know, hey, I've followed the NFL for 30 years. I've worked for the Patriots for 18 years. I've covered the NFL for 25 years. So here's, you know, a layman's term if I'm still a layman. Did I play the game at a pro level? No. I've followed it for an awful long time. I've talked to a lot of players. I have offensive coordinators and coaches and head coaches who are my friends in the business. So, you know, here's what I think. What I'm thinking is that the best way to disrupt what the Patriots like to do, we all know the Patriots love to get in a rhythm. You've got to find a way to disrupt that rhythm. And what that means certainly is by starting out trying to ground and pound, as the quote is used on the Jets side of it. But then, you know, hey, I would say, you know, the next time, well, the Patriots, you know, eventually are going to adjust to a ground and pound type of philosophy. What do the Jets do next? Well, maybe the next series they come out and they go no huddle. And maybe they throw the short intermediate passing game. or, you know, who knows? I mean, you got to come out and throw different things at the Patriot defense. It's still young. We know it's athletic, but the Patriots defense does take time to adjust. And so my thought process here is if you're going to keep the Patriots defense off balance, you've got to keep it constantly adjusting. And so when Rex Ryan said earlier this week, 2 days ago, he said, you know, we're going to come in, we're going to game plan, and I'm going to coach my butt off, and I'm going to, you know, it's between me and Bill, and it's personal, and yada, yada. He's talking about developing a full implementation of a game plan that will keep the Patriots off balance. We're talking about uncovering every stone, overturning every rock, digging into the deep recesses of the Jets playbook, and we're going to put it all in our game plan because we got nothing to lose. We got blitzed 45-3 last time out.
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
Yeah, and eating a bunch of bleeping cheeseburgers along with it. And I admire that, actually. Not the cheeseburger part, although I'd like to have those, but I admire the fact that they're willing to pull out all the stops. Because frankly, if I'm looking at it from that point of view, yeah, you got to. You just got your butt handed to you. It was one of the worst losses imaginable. It was a franchise teeth-rattling defeat. And so the bravado to me, and the talk to me, and that includes Cromartie, and I'll get to that in a moment, but all of the words, all the jaw flapping is a way to gloss over and put aside the weaknesses and the problems that the Jets will actually have in executing on the field. You know it. I know it. The Patriots know it. That's why the Patriots aren't answering. That and because I think they're actually classier individuals than the Jets. Okay, whatever. But it's this is all theater, kids. The Jets are going to try to ground and pound, and if they're smart, then they're going to come out and they're going to wing it. And if they're smart, they're going to go back to a running game, and then they'll go to a short passing game, and then maybe they'll try to stretch the field, and then they'll go, wildcat package, and Brad Smith will play. I mean, they're going to change it up on the Patriots. If they don't, shame on them, because that's the way you can keep the Patriots' defense on its heels during the game. And if you're able to change it up and grind out, you know, 6, 7, 9, 12 play drives, that's more time you keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. You hope you're going to you're probably going to blitz, but you can't afford to blitz all the time because Brady will kill you, and the Jets have already proven that. The Patriots have already proven that to the Jets. Sure, they'll blitz some. They may blitz a lot. They won't blitz on every down. So they're going to expect the Patriots to score. They know they have to keep up with the Patriots. Patriots have scored 31 or more 8 straight games. Jets have got to figure out a way to score 30 points. That's all there is to it. Got to figure out a way. Unless they feel like keeping the ball out of Brady's hands is going to keep the score lower. But the Jets' offense, as we all know, against a relatively porous Colts defense last week, was only responsible for 17 points. And well, it didn't all come because of the offense either. Guess you can give them credit for 14. So they got a long way to go. They got a lot of work ahead of them, the Jets do. So don't fall for this, you know, stuff that you're hearing out of their locker room and their camp, and it's all New York bravado, okay? That's all it is. And it's unfortunate they have to be jerks about it along the way. But okay, that's fine. That's their way of doing things. I'd much rather be a classy guy than a jerky guy any day. And I think that's the way the Patriots play it. So they've got some issues. Doesn't mean it won't work. Because if they do change it up and the Patriots can't, I'm sure the Patriots will be ready for just about anything the Jets throw at them. But again, it's all about keeping the Patriot defense off balance and keeping the Patriot defense guessing. So it's harder for them to regroup. And if you can get through the first half relatively even, relatively close, let's say a one possession game, then you go into the second half after the adjustments are made, and you just readjust. And you readjust based on what the Patriots are giving you, and then it's really going to be upon the Patriots sideline to adjust in-game, and that is way more difficult to do than you think it might be. All right, so there are some of my thoughts here early about the game. Webradio at Patriots.com is where you reach us on the program, of course. Webradio at Patriots.com, the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Phones are working. Phone lines are not down, although I've got a power line down out in front of my street right now. So the entire street is plowed except for right in front of my house. Gosh. I plowed my driveway, but it started snowing again. Yeah, I know. So the driveway will have to get redone. The sidewalk will have to get redone later, but, you know.
That's why I have a son. Make him do it.
No, no, it just doesn't work that way. He looks at me like I got three heads. I'll give you $10.
He's come like, on, I'm sure he had school off today. You should send him out there. Say, look, I'm working. I'm on the radio. You got to clear the driveway.
No, no, my son's idea of a job is, hey, Dad, can I come on the radio with you today? So I will let the rookie come on and make an appearance later today because we do have his Beat the Rookie contest to settle once and for all. So I know he's done the research on it, and so if you were ever wondering about that, we did this contest before the bowl games and the playoffs started, and so I'm sure he's going to be announcing the results here very, very shortly. If of course you were one of the, I think we had about a half dozen people take part. So at any rate, that's coming up. So he's not going to do any digging or any shoveling. There's no way that's going to happen. It's just like, you know, he looks at me like one of those aristocratic, erudite, you know, upper crust, nose turned up kind of guys. Like, well, I'm not lowering myself to do that. Teenagers. Guess $10 isn't enough, huh? What if I put the 20 in front of you? You think you'd do it for 20? May have to try that.
Make it 40, and I'll leave the show and drive down and do it myself.
I was about to say, I know. $40, I'm there. No kidding. I did finally make the investment a few years ago. Because it's the heavy, wet, thick, you know, snow that, I mean, just kills your lower back if you're not careful. And I did make the investment along with my mother-in-law, God bless her. It's been about 4 or 5 years ago now. We went in halvesies on a snowblower, and wow, fantastic, huh? Absolutely fantastic. I don't know what we did without it, and I don't know why the hell I would shovel without it anymore. Now that I have it, it's a beauty. It's just really a piece of work. Works beautifully. You know, my neighbors have one, so, you know, we end up doing all the sidewalks. I've got elderly neighbors that live across the street and next door, and so, you know, whoever's out first usually goes over and helps them with their, you know, into their driveways and their sidewalks, and we're happy to do it. It's great because it doesn't, I mean, you can get everything shoveled in about a third the time. I mean, normally, what takes me 2 or 3 hours to do, I get done in about an hour. Fantastic. So, it's all good. It's all good in Rhode Island today. I just hope that we can get out of here tomorrow with a place to go and games to do. All right, let me get started with some of the comments here. First of all, in case you hadn't heard, I will recap this by saying that, hold on. Before I get to Antonio Cromartie, I'm kind of ahead of myself. We don't have Eric to go to practice today, but Mike Rodek put this up on the ESPNBoston.com blog a short while ago about practice today because the Patriots did practice out in the snow today. Jermaine Cunningham was at the start of practice this afternoon. He was not there yesterday because of a calf injury that Eric Scalavino told us about. So Cunningham's status, you know, he's a starter in that 3-4 defense. He can also be an edge rusher at times. If he doesn't play, it probably means that Tully Bantakane is somewhere in that lineup as well, but he was out there. Myron Pryor was the only player not spotted at the start of practice today. He missed 5 games at the end of the season with a back injury before then returning for the last game. That, of course, is where the Patriots, I think, you know, the Achilles heel lies right now, is in the defensive line. You know, you've had the Superman effort put up by Ben Swilfork, but, you know, and even to a lesser extent, I think Gerard Warren, who I think has done a very solid job this year for the Patriots on that front. But beyond those guys, you know, it's just been, you know, flotsam and jetsam. And again, I say that with respect because these guys have been hurt. I mean, you've got Mike Wright out on the IR now. You've got Ron Brace, who's on the IR now. So neither of those guys are coming back this year. And so you're mixing and matching, and you're putting in Eric Moore, who was in the UFL, and I just, you know, you got all different kinds of things going on there. And so the fact that they've been able to do as well as they've done when it's just been a revolving door on the defensive line is a tribute, I think, to the play, certainly overall, of Wilfork and Warren. And last week, I thought, to me, in my way of thinking, Vince Wilfork was the unsung MVP of this team. Tom Brady may be the MVP of the NFL. Vince Wilfork is the MVP of the New England Patriots. Think of where this defense would be without him literally anchoring the middle. I don't think it'd be pretty. You'd have guys attacking the line of scrimmage and going 5 yards before they'd even get hit, before they'd even get touched. But not with Big Vince in there. So I really believe that Vince Wilfork is the Patriots MVP, again, with all due respect to Tom Brady. So that's what we had from practice, and I thank ESPN Boston and the blog for the update on that one. Now, if you've been living under a rock, which some of us have been, it's easy to do when you're, when you're snowed in like it is. Antonio Cromartie in the New York Daily News early today called Tom Brady an a-hole. He was asked about Brady pointing to the Jets sideline after throwing a touchdown pass on the first play of the fourth quarter back in the December 6th game, a little over a month ago, which the Patriots won 45-3. His quote is, "We see that a lot. He does it a lot. That's the kind of guy he is. We really don't give a damn to tell you the truth." Asked what kind of guy Brady is, Cromartie said, "Ass bleep," according to the Daily News. "That's what I think about him. I don't really give a damn about him. I don't have to play against him. I play against the receivers." Okay. Now, Brady was asked earlier today what he thought of the comment. And Brady said, "I've been called worse. I'm sure there is a long list of people that feel that way. But he's a good player. Revis is a great player. They have a great secondary. They're one of the best defenses we've faced. We spent a lot of time preparing for them and what they're capable of doing over there. To shut down the Colts offense like they did is pretty impressive because we know how good that offense is. We're going to be ready to play." And then asked about his on-field demeanor, which rubbed the Jets the wrong way back on December the 6th. I mean, the Jets accusing Tom of pointing and talking trash.
That's being a jackass.
Little smack talk out on the field when the Patriots were, you know, obviously moving the score up on the Jets. Brady said, quote, "I'm an emotional player. It's all in the spirit of the game and the competition." All right, well, okay. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe you have an opinion on that. If you share an opinion on that, now's the time to fire it off. Webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Or get us on the Facebook page. Now, earlier today, Rex Ryan, in a conference call, was asked his reaction to Antonio Cromartie's calling an expletive of Tom Brady. So let's take some time now to clue you in on that conference call, and let's let you listen in. This is members of the Patriots media earlier at Gillette Today with Rex Ryan.
"I'm doing well. How are you?"
"I'm doing well. I guess we'll start off with what your reaction was to Antonio's comments about Tom Brady."
I'm not real familiar with him, but... Maybe somebody can fill me in. I'm sure he's... go ahead and somebody fill me in.
they might have to beat me out if I do that, though.
"He called Brady an asshole?"
"Yeah."
"All right, well... all right, well, first off, in this country, you're allowed to have opinions and all that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, I mean, as an organization... You know, I mean, we respect Tom Brady. There's no question about it. But, you know, hey, is there dislike between us and Brady against the Jets and all that? Of course there is. Am I going to, you know, punish Cromartie for saying something or whatever? No. I mean, that's, you know, I know one thing. We respect New England, but we don't fear them. And... you know, something, you know, a comment like that is just, you know, it's just the fact that they're the enemy as we look at them this week."
"In your opinion, though, isn't that maybe crossing the line from just fun trash talk?"
"Well, I don't think, I mean, realistically, I'm sure that's basically what it was. It was probably just a comment that he's, you know, that he made. And that's, you know, trust me. They're saying a lot worse about me and others here. Maybe it just wasn't printed."
"Coach, do you feel that maybe your players sort of follow your lead, though, and that maybe you kind of incited?"
"Yeah, of course." "No, I mean, you know, I think the maybe they do follow my lead in the fact that, you know what, you know, we can say what's on our mind or whatever. I don't say that, hey, we you know, whatever we do, don't say this or don't say that. You know, we're a transparent organization. We, you know, we let our guys, you know, speak, and we don't try to tell them what to say or what not to say.
Rex, is there a risk involved in that, though? Is that as you lead up to the game, it's makes for great sound bites. It maybe fosters a little interest in the game. If you guys don't win the game, how do you look after all that?
Well, we're going to be watching somebody else play, so it really doesn't matter. I mean, you either win or you don't. In this league, you know, if you don't win, it's over. Your season's over. So to think that a comment here or there is going to incite them to play at a greater level or something like that, then you know, I don't believe that's true. I mean, we're both fighting for the same thing. Both teams want to go to the Super Bowl. Both teams want to win the Super Bowl. And you either win and go on, or you lose and you're done, and you're watching the other team play. And that's as simple as that. So it doesn't matter what would come out of New England's locker room or anybody else's locker room, or because you can't be more motivated than we are. You can't be more motivated than New England is.
Coach, I just have to ask. You say you respect New England and Tom Brady, but are those the kind of comments that show respect?
Well, I mean, again, you know, we're not apologizing for anything. You know, did we vote him to be the starting quarterback in the Pro Bowl? Yes, we did. We vote him to win the NFL Player of the Year? Yeah, we did. So there's plenty of respect, but, you know, we don't have to, you know, be all lovey-dovey and say that, you know, oh, hey, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. We have a right to our opinion, and, you know, a comment like that is, you know, it's no big deal. But, I mean, you know, a guy makes a comment, big deal.
On a different topic, Rex, in the last game, in the December game, I don't think Brady targeted Revis once. Do you expect him to go after him at all, or do you expect Revis to be bored and lonely again?
Well, you visit Revis Island, it's probably not, you know, I mean, the success rate, you know, going to that island is probably not real good. And Brady knows that. He doesn't need to. He can look at a different matchup that he probably likes better than that matchup. And that's with any receiver in the league. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime type corner, and that's a fact. You know, he is, in my opinion, the best corner in football. It's not even close, and, you know, you don't necessarily need to, you know, I don't think it's smart business to target him.
Are you worried about what they can do to you in the middle of the field with their tight ends and their slot receivers?
I'm not worried about anything. I'm concerned, but I'm not worried. I mean, they've clearly got a ton of weapons. They torched us last time they played us. You know, there's many ways. You know, it's not like they just have Wes Welker, or they just have Branch, or they just have, you know, one tight end. They've got a whole, you know, a whole slew of weapons, you know, Brady uses every one of them. He's going to throw it to the open guy. And, you know, that's what you have to be concerned with.
Might you approach it differently this time on how to attack them in the middle of the field?
Well, I'm going to approach it the exact same, but that's obviously not the truth. Oh, yeah. Point, so I think we need to change a little bit. I don't know if we want to use that same game plan. But, you know, clearly, we'll do different things, just like they'll do different things, and you know, hopefully, we'll have a different outcome.
Some of the stuff came out. I mean, I guess Bart Scott's comments were a little bit different than Crow's, but comments came out that, you know, he kind of, I guess, gave a radio host an idea of what you guys did wrong and what you need to do better this time around. And obviously, you answered the question. Are you a little bit more sensitive to that kind of talk being out there, other than just the trash talk or whatever? Actual strategic talk being out there, and do you think that could have an effect at all?
No, I mean, because I really don't think our guys, you know, we actually never put the game plan in until today, so I don't believe anybody's going to be talking exactly about what our game plan is. You know, so, yeah, you know, I mean, people aren't blind. We know what happened last game.
Rick, do you have an assessment of the Patriots' defensive line, considering their injuries and besides Wolf, Work, and Warren, maybe some guys that weren't even with the team at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I'm not worried about their injuries. We lost Chris Jenkins for the entire season, so I don't know if they lost a guy bigger than that. So, you know, they got good football players in there. They're moving Big Vince around a little bit, playing him at end and all that kind of stuff, but they're doing an excellent job. In fact, they're statistically they've improved since we played them last. So, I think they got some big guys. When you got Warren and Wolfork in there, I mean, they got some big guys. So, you know, they're hard to move, and those guys do a great job, especially, you know, in that two-gap style of play. They're awful hard to go up against.
Rex, one of the offensive weapons that you were referring to, I guess, or may not have referred to, was Danny Woodhead, a guy that was in your organization as well. When you see someone like that come back and kind of haunt you, A, what are your initial thoughts, and B, was there any thought about keeping him in your organization when you let him go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why we kept him. Remember, this guy was in football because of the New York Jets. Kept him around for 2 years, and he did well. They just had it was an excellent pickup for him. The fact that Kevin Falk went down, Danny Woodhead's skill set were similar to Kevin Falk, maybe not as well known to other people, but, because Kevin Falk's one of the great, backs, consistent back for a long time. But Danny's certainly an outstanding player, and he really is perfect for that system.
Do you think the rest of the league found out about Danny Woodhead after the Hard Knocks exposure that he got?
I don't think so. I think they could see the tape. He had like 150 yards rushing in one play in one preseason game against Philadelphia, and they probably saw that, he was effective. He, played quite a bit as a third down back in our playoff games, when we played San Diego and all that kind of stuff. He did a great job. So I think people were aware of Danny.
Did it gnaw at you at all to see him have the success that he did against your team?
Sure, it definitely did. It gnawed at me about his success, about Brady's success, about Welker's success, and everybody else. It wasn't just a one-man show. If it was just one guy to key on, I think we'd be able to stop him. But, when you got Branch and you got all these other guys, those two, really those three tight ends, I mean, this is not an easy thing. I think Danny benefits a lot from the talents around him as well. He does have a lot of talent himself, but I think he really benefits from the other weapons that they have.
Guys,
James
Harrybo is a local guy,
and
just the way he's kind of progressed from, undrafted to being, pretty solid contributor for you guys.
Who's that? I'm sorry?
James
Harrybo. Yeah, just, tough as nails guy. I know he's respected through the league with the kind of special teams performer he is, for sure. And, he's always a guy that's excited. He's a tough, physical type player, and dishes out big hits almost every game. So, we're proud that he's on our team.
We good, everybody?
What kind of weather are you dealing with in your neck of the woods right now?
We got about, 8 inches of snow today or last night. So I don't know what the weather's like there, but, we're dealing with some of that, a lot of snow right now.
It's worse here, Rex, just for the record, and
great.
Has it affected your plans or preparation?
Struggles in bad conditions. Go ahead and lay that one out there too.
Yeah, he threw 6 touchdowns against the Titans in snow weather.
If Brady happens to win and has a good game, will you be taking your team to more Broadway plays in the future?
We might have to. Maybe that's what we need to do. We don't plan on losing though.
Rex, one last thing, maybe on Mark Sanchez and his development now in his second year. Did you see him not only come of age last season, but maybe in that last series against the Colts when he brought you down in position to win the game?
Well, I just think he's really coming on. you expect young players to improve, you know, each year, and I think he's probably improved as much as anybody that I can remember. So, you know, he does the work off the field, you know, as well as on. He's a tireless worker, and you know, I think he's recognizing defenses better than he did last year. He knows our offense. It's become his offense, so we have a lot of confidence in Mark. His teammates have a lot of confidence in him, and I'll be excited to see him play this week.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Let's go.
All right, so that's Rex Ryan, conference call from Gillette Stadium, or with the reporters at Gillette Stadium earlier today. And we'll react to that here in just a moment, but there is some breaking news to tell you about. Just saw it on Pro Football Talk that the Jets have put Damian Woody on injured reserve. In fact, almost right after he was done with that conference call, Rex Ryan announced that Woody's going to be out for the year with an Achilles tendon injury. He had missed the last three games of the regular season with a knee injury. Then he started this past Saturday's wild card game against the Colts on the Jets' offensive line. And now Damian Woody is done for the year. So that certainly will hurt. There's no question about that. They will hurt their offensive line, hurt their depth, hurt everything there. You know, will they be able to overcome it? Well, they didn't have him for the last three games of the regular season, and yet we do know that the Jets struggled a little bit. So take it for what it's worth, but Damian Woody apparently is now gone for the year for the New York Jets. So you've got that to kind of consider when you look at the Jets' running game, which will certainly, as I said earlier, need to be significant for the Patriots or to really be able to stay in the game with the Patriots. Keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. Keep the ball out of the Patriots' offensive hands. You know, that's going to be huge. You got to figure out now a way that you can kind of, you know, ground and pound without one of your key players on that offensive line. Did the job get a little bit tougher? It might have. It might have. So that's on the field. Off the field, I don't think there's any question that the job has gotten tougher with Antonio Cromartie opening up his mouth. And you have already started to let your feelings be known on the matter as well via Facebook. I've got several that I'm going to read here. This one comes from Robert, who says, I guess the best compliment of all of this is players of a team are usually an extension of the coach. Tom Brady is a great and wonderful example of this. He maintains being forthright with most of the questions posed to him about his team and the opposition, giving compliment and praise to anyone who deserves it. You've never heard Tom berate anyone for anything along the line of questioning work ethic or their fortitude as it applies to the game of football. He truly toes the Belichick line and speak. Those two most dynamic personalities of the Patriots have positioned themselves, got snow postponements on the brain here, positioned themselves of football greatness over the years. To have folks take pot shots and characterizations to either discredit or stuff like that is very offensive and distasteful to the highest degree. I'm very proud of being a Patriots fan since the days of Grogan, Tippett, and Nelson. All right, good job out of you, Robert. Zach says, rather easily here, yeah, I like this one. He says, if I had nine children from multiple women to feed, I'd hate the quarterback who made me look like I belonged in the CFL, too. Ba-doom-tsh. Yes, exactly. Zachary gets a drum riff on that one. Oh, Mary Beth says, let them throw bleep. Pats will answer on the field by throwing the football. Let's see. What else do we have here? Oh, Robert sent me another one here. Same Robert as before. Very, very, very well spoken today, Robert. He says, it's sounding awful with truly nothing to back up your argument. Very arbitrary to rule. So friggin' what if Tom is pointing, which the Jets are accusing him of pointing and then taunting. The Jets seem to think they're better. Yeah, like when pigs fly. True reason Belichick left the very first day being the head coach for the Jets and came to the Patriots is simple. The Jets organization is about flash and no substance. Bill Parcells thought he had cured them of that when he turned it over to Bill. Turns out they reverted to their old ways. Big smack talk. Belichick left immediately to the Pats because of his voice will carry some weight instead of being undermined from the front office. Compare the success we've had through the last 10 years. Success breeds more success. Interesting point, Robert. Thank you. Pat says he only hates Brady because he's not a Jet. That's probably also true. All right, some good comments to get us rolling, and you are welcome to share yours on Cromartie, on the Jets, on Rex Ryan, on Tom Brady pointing, allegedly taunting the Jets' sideline on December the 6th in the midst of that 45-3 pounding the Patriots put on them. 508-543-7482 is the telephone number of the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com, the email address. Emails are starting to pile up, so we'll get to those here shortly. And then Facebook, you can always hit us on the Facebook page. Just search for me, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request. Make sure you type in Patriots Playbook or Patriots Fan or something in there so we know to immediately accept you, and we'll bring you into the Facebook fold, and then join us on Facebook during the course of the broadcast, and we exchange football viewpoints by posts and emails and what else do? We chat even. Yeah, we even do that too. So that's all good. You can certainly go that route as well if you like and take advantage of the quote-unquote Facebook phenomenon. Dan sends this one. Let me see if I can read this one out here. He says, Jets quarterback Antonio Cromartie is, declared he hated Tom Brady, calling the Patriots quarterback a presumptive NFL MVP and a-hole because he accused Brady of often pointing to opponents' sidelines when he throws to touchdown passes. What do you guys think? I say no worries, AC. When and if you score, just point at us. Don't be surprised if we don't care. He's correct. Brady scores often, leading to that nasty pointing business. It's all right. Fair enough. Do you care? I think Dan actually asks an interesting question. Because if we're sitting here on our quote-unquote high horses and we're accusing Antonio Cromartie of being the a-hole, and we're accusing Rex Ryan of being the jackass, then is Tom Brady doing the same thing to the Patriots, for the Patriots, to the Jets, by pointing? Now, we all know that Tom, when he gets to the line of scrimmage, he points, does that a lot. A lot of it is because he's calling out, I think, audibles and codes for blocking assignments. And he even may be calling an audible for his receivers. So he does that a lot. He's pointing to a linebacker or a shift in the line or what have you, just to make sure that his players understand what it is that he's calling. Now, as far as pointing to the sideline and or taunting the Jets, I'll be honest. I'll be completely honest. I haven't seen it. It doesn't mean that it's not going on. I have not noticed it, probably because I'm otherwise occupied after the Patriots score. But I haven't noticed it. Now, if you've noticed it, what do you think? Is he doing the same thing to the Jets as what really Cromartie is doing today? I'd be interested in your take. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482, and Facebook. You know, I don't know if it's the same, but, you know, it really depends on what you feel taunting is. I mean, if you taunt, is it taunting no matter what level of taunt it is? I mean, when you out and out call somebody an expletive deleted like, you know, Cromartie has done today, Brady pointing at him or at Revis or at the Jets sideline after the Patriots score a touchdown, is that the same thing as calling a guy an a-hole? Is it the same thing? I don't know. It could be. Maybe it's just, you know, a way of just, you know, reacting. Maybe it's just what you look. I know that when I was playing, you know, sports in my younger days, if a guy had been on me or had really been riding me or been playing, having a great day against me, if I was able to put one over on him, my first reaction is to look at him and say, hey, I got your back on that one. And I meant it, I'll be honest with you, I meant it in the interest of good sportsmanship. I mean, you know, you've been beating my butt up and down the field or up and down the court all day long here, and I finally put one back in your face. So there you go. You know, I just wanted you to know I can play the game a little bit. But I just, you know, is it the same thing? That's kind of what I'm wondering here. So, all right, so that's, you know, something to consider, I think, for the most part. Yeah, way back in high school. Thank you for that, Jason. Just now got it.
You were reliving your glory days.
I was reliving my glory days, I know. Believe me, I didn't have many glory days. It didn't really happen all that often for me. I could always talk a good game. Playing was a little bit different for me. But, you know, in all seriousness, yeah, I mean, you know, sure, that might be my initial reaction. I don't know if I'd point, But, I'd kind of like, wink or nod or something, or I might point in that guy's general direction and say, hey, got you on that one. And so it really was meant as respect more than anything else. I don't know if it's a taunt. Maybe the Jets interpret it as a taunt. But knowing Tom Brady as we know him, I don't know that Brady is an in-your-face taunter, is he? I don't think so. But, okay. You know what? I will allow for that because, the Jets are the ones doing all the smack talk, and maybe they say that they're doing this in reaction to Tom pointing at them. Well, you know what? Frankly, you need to do your talking on the field, and I think that's all Tom Brady and the Patriots are doing. The talking is happening on the field, and all of the talking between now and Sunday at 4:30 is going to be just that. Talk.
I think he's full of s***.
That's all it is. It's talk. It's all going to boil down to, who's going to block, who's going to tackle, who's going to catch, who's going to throw better. That's it. Who's going to run better? Who's going to have a better scheme? Is it going to be Bill Belichick, or is it going to be, Rex Ryan, who says, I'm going to give him my best shot this week by calling out Bill Belichick? All right, we're going to find out on Sunday. Level of taunting. Geez, really? I mean, I wasn't sure that we'd ever get to that high water mark here on the show, but nevertheless, yeah. Mary Beth says, so glad you are there. How boring my afternoon would be without the playbook. I would have to work in silence. Oh, I'm sure your workmates would, probably be grateful, Mary Beth, but hey, we're glad to be with you today, as we said. Steven says, all right, now to football here. I got to pour cold water on things for you and Fred. I have a feeling that the Pats will win convincingly, not a blowout, but very solid win. However, they have better established talent on both sides of the ball. The defense frustrated Manning all game, which is a big deal no matter what. GB gave them a blueprint. They have the personnel to match GB, Green Bay, or at least close. The big question will be what they do on offense. All right. All of that, okay. I guess I can understand. Green Bay did kind of give them a blueprint, but I would also allow for the fact that, the Patriots, I'm not sure they completely game planned for Green Bay like they will be doing for the Jets, because they didn't really know what Matt Flynn would bring to the table. And so this is where, because Matt Flynn is a capable backup quarterback and has some skills and ability, he is not what you would call your average run-of-the-mill Damon Heward. And I say that with all due respect to Damon Heward. But he's just not, a guy that, or for that matter, Matt Castle. And although Matt has developed into a pretty good quarterback in his own right, I'm not sure that the Patriots had as involved a game plan against Green Bay as they will have for the Jets. They know how to play Mark Sanchez. They didn't know how to play Matt Flynn. Now, I'm going to give Green Bay all the credit in the world. I predicted before the playoffs started it'd be a Patriot-Green Bay Super Bowl, and I obviously still think that's going to happen. We'll see. Patriots obviously have to win now. Green Bay's got to keep it rolling. But when it comes right down to it, the Patriots, I just think it was a little bit more simplistic than what normally they would do preparing. And when you have 2 weeks to prepare, yeah, you didn't know you were preparing for the Jets the first week. I understand that. But you were still getting yourselves ready. You were getting yourselves ready, and you had scenario A, B, and C, depending on which team you're going to play. And so now you're probably focusing on those scenarios in that order this week. You've got more time to get ready for your opponent than the other guy has to get ready for you, and that should be an advantage. Patriots are 4-0 in the divisional playoff coming off the bye week. So, all I can tell you is that the track record will bear it out, that the time helps New England. Thoughts on that as well? Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482, and Facebook. Let's see if I got a couple more here via Facebook. Let's go to Jonathan says, true, these two teams do know each other because of the amount of times they play each other, but with our team being so offensively dynamic, wouldn't the Pats, in theory, have more hidden schemes or plays on offense they could unleash and confuse the Jets' D for the whole game? One more thing. I remember you said you were from Fort Worth, and I was wondering, where is your Texas accent? I've tried to take the past 23 years that I've been up here, Jonathan, to eliminate most of my Texas accent. But you know what? I can still throw a couple of y'alls out there if you want me to.
What's the name of that restaurant with the big yellow arches?
Which way do you want me to go? McDonald's or McDonald's?
Typically when you're reading a PA, you say Mac.
But it's because it's Mac. MC is an abbreviation for Mac. It's not Mick, which can be considered a racial epithet, by the way.
Thank you for throwing that on the air. That's great.
Well, I'm just saying, come on now. I mean, that's why I don't say that. I mean that nicely. Not tauntingly. This is our taunting edition of Patriots Playbook. Grew up in Texas. Just, you know. Yeah, I could do some y'alls for you if you want me to. Just, you know, kind of like, you know, been there, done that for a while. Derek says, Facebooked here about the announcement of Damian Woody, which obviously is good news. And then he says, or from the Patriots' perspective here, then he says, John, I'm so amped for this game. I just want the players of the freaking field already, on the freaking field already. I'm sick of these Jets. What a bunch of idiots. Seriously, is there a bigger compilation of idiots in the NFL? I've never wanted for the Patriots to beat a team so badly, at least in a non-Super Bowl game. I hope the Pats demolish the Jets on Sunday. I'm excited to see the Pats do their talking on the field. Here's a novel idea. I don't know if we can do this or not, because I really don't know what the scope of the audience here is. If you're a Jets fan and you're listening to the program today, do me a favor. Send me an email, would you? Webradio@patriots.com. Send me an email. I really like to know from a Jets fan's perspective what you think of the talking. What do you think of the spit? And the venom and the trash talk and the smack that's been said, starting with your head coach all the way down to, Antonio Cromartie, you know, calling Tom Brady an expletive deleted today. What do you think? Are you happy with it? Are you glad they're showing some bravado? Do you wish they'd be quiet? What? I'd really like to hear from a Jets fan today. And for that matter, if you're neither a fan of the Patriots or the Jets, and you're just listening in because you want some good football talk and information, and hopefully you're finding that here, and we welcome you here, and you're welcome anytime. Obviously, we're slanted toward the Patriots because that's what we do. It's why it's Patriots.com radio. But if you really, you know, are not a particular fan of either team, what's your view from the outside here? What do you think of it? Do you like the circus? Do you not like the circus? Do you wish the guys would just, you know, keep their talking on the field? Or do you wish they'd do it more? Do you find it entertaining? Webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. Just fire it off. Quick little comment. Let me know, you know, if you're a Jets fan or if you're not a Jets fan, which team you support. I'd really be interested to know how you feel about the war of words that has begun between the Jets and the Patriots, and seems to happen every time these teams play. And, yes, this is the third time. And you played way back in September, then you play again in early December, and now you're here again in mid-January playing again. But this game obviously means more than either of the other two put together. Because you win, you move on to the AFC Championship. You lose, you're done. And you get an entire off season to think about the next opportunity. You're probably waiting at least until next September or October before you get a chance to try it again against, you know, the opponent that just vanquished you. I have to admit, this is a tough one here. If the Patriots lose, it's going to be a long off season. We talked about this a little last week and even the week before because we knew that it was a nothing game leading up to the Dolphins game. But nevertheless, I have a feeling that most fans, many fans, not all, maybe not even most, but many fans will consider this season disappointing, if not a failure, if the team loses this week. Number one, because they don't get to a championship game scenario. Number two, because they lost to their arch rivals. And I still want Patriots fans to sort of keep the big picture in the eyesight here, because nobody thought this Patriots team would be here. And that's what makes what's going on now a rather remarkable course of events. It's just, you know, wow, we didn't see this. Nobody saw this coming back in August or September when we got started here. This show is a seasonal show. Playbook comes on in September with week one programming and runs right through the playoffs until the Patriots are eliminated. You have the Patriots Football Weekly writers, you know, to keep you company once a week during the off season. you know, and a few specials leading up to draft day at the end of April. But until, you know, football season rolls around again in the summer and early fall, you get a once-a-week fix, you know, and the PFW guys take care of you here. And we don't come back with the Playbook or the Pete Shepard Show or Shop Talk or Fantasy Lowdown or any of the other programming that we have here on Patriots.com Radio until the football season comes back. So it's a long offseason. This entire year has been a bonus. This is bonus programming right now for us. Nobody's complaining. I'm not complaining. Nobody's complaining. It's all good when the team is still playing. So really, that's kind of why I asked the question. You know, sure, I know that we're all going to be disappointed and all going to be hurt, especially if a loss comes to the Jets. But, you know, frankly, you still got to look at the big picture here. The Jets were everybody's favorite to start the year. They really got more pressure on them now than the Patriots have on them, if you take the big picture into consideration. Thoughts on that as well? Entertain those here. Web radio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Hey, if you're in New England and you're listening to the show today, how much snow did you get? Let me know. Hit us up on Facebook. Let's take a timeout here. Hour number two, we've got some more conference calls to get to. Also going to bring the rookie into the fold to update you on the Beat the Rookie contest that we did over the holidays. That and more right here in Patriots Playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, no. Snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook on a snowy Wednesday here in New England. I'm John Rook. Glad you're with us on this snowy Wednesday. We'll have the playbook in some form or fashion here tomorrow as well, although it won't be me here. Do you think Kevin will be able to, you know, dig out and get there on time tomorrow, James?
I mean, we have a special edition of the Pete Shepard Show filling the playbook time slot tomorrow.
That's right. I'd forgotten. We mentioned that yesterday. So Pete's actually going to step in tomorrow from 2 until 4 Eastern time, since I've got to try to get my way to Morgantown, West Virginia tomorrow. So we will have programming in this time slot. And if you haven't listened to Pete's show, you will enjoy it immensely. He definitely wears the Patriots on his shirt sleeves, especially for those of you who are here in New England and you heard him on WEEI over a number of years. Call him Pom Pom Pete, but it's all good stuff. He's very emotional about it, and
against El Duque.
You'll be here tomorrow from 2 to 4. Thanks to Pete for agreeing to come on for an extra day to help us out here tomorrow. In the meantime, we did a little contest right before, when was it, before the holidays? Was it before the holidays? I think it was. At any rate, we did a contest here on the show that we call Beat the Rookie. And for those, again, that are from southern New England and remembered the talk show that we did on the former 790 The Score, we had a segment called Beat the Rookie where, at the time, it was my 10-year-old son, I think, which sounds, of course, like I'm going to be a strong candidate for Father of the Year here because my son knows how to bet better than I do. But nevertheless, he's sort of been like a savant when it comes to selecting things. He had picking against the spread. He would do a three-team parlay and a bonus pick every week, and we would have callers, try to challenge him. And I think he was right. What was it, over 70% of the time, wasn't it? Against the spread, I think. Yeah, he was definitely in the 70s. So, I mean, clearly, had we done this for things other than entertainment purposes only, I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be sitting somewhere in the South Pacific. So, shame on me, I suppose. Anyway, the rookie's grown up now. He's darn near 16. He came on with us on a program it was during Christmas vacation week, I think, before Christmas holiday, right after you got out of school for the holidays. And we decided to reprise Beat the Rookie. So what it was is we asked some of our listeners here in Patriots Playbook to pick three pro games and then one college bowl game against the spread. And if you could beat the rookie, not tie him, beat him, and we had a prize that we were going to award. Austin, what did we? I want you to read the results for each of the people that we selected to participate, on the show. First of all, why don't you give us your results and let us know how you did against the spread?
Okay. Well, first, my pick was New England over Buffalo, which obviously happened. They were an 8-point favorite and they won 34-3. The next game was St. Louis, who was a 2.5-point favorite over the San Francisco 49ers, and they won, I believe it was 25-12, okay. Something around there. So there's 2-0 right there. And then I believe my third game was Green Bay and the Giants, and Green Bay was a 3-point favorite, and they won 45-17. So that's 3-0. And then my bowl game was the national championship game, Auburn, who is a 3-point favorite over Oregon, and they won by 3, so that's a push. So I finished 3-0-1.
All right, so you were 3-0-1, which means somebody had to finish a perfect 4-0 to beat you, since you had the one push. All right, so you got the results there from those who took part?
Yes, I do. First, Mary Beth from Syracuse. She had Jacksonville over Washington, who was a 7-point favorite, and Washington upset the Jacksonville Jaguars, so she has one loss there. Chicago, 1-point favorite over the New York Jets, and Chicago won. I believe Chicago won that game. Yes, they did. She is even at 1-1. Atlanta, who is a 2.5-point favorite over New Orleans during Monday Night Football. New Orleans upset them that game, and she is 1-2, so she's out of the race. And then she had a pinstripe bowl pick, Syracuse, 2.5-point favorite over Kansas State, and Syracuse won by 2, so she finishes 1-3. Next is Donald from Facebook. He had the Steelers, who are a 14.5-point favorite over the Carolina Panthers, and they covered their spread, so he has one win. The Ravens, who are a 3.5-point favorite over the Cleveland Browns, and they won by 10, I believe, so he is off to a good start. He's 2-0. And then the Patriots, who are an 8-point favorite over Buffalo, right there, he's 3-0. Now, his bowl pick was the Orange Bowl, Virginia Tech over Stanford. And if you watch that game, Stanford blew Virginia Tech out, so he finishes 3-1 and is out of the race.
Okay, so he finished a half game behind you.
Yes, he did.
All right. Next.
Our last participant was Steve from Facebook, and he had the Steelers as well, who were 14.5-point favorites over Carolina. And he won that game, so he's 1-0. He had St. Louis, who was a 2.5-point favorite over San Francisco, just like I did, and St. Louis won that game, so 2-0. And New Orleans, who was was the underdog in the game against Atlanta, and they won. They covered. I'm not sure.
Which one was that?
Monday Night Football, New Orleans, Atlanta.
I thought you did your homework here.
I'm sorry. I think.
Ah, see, you gotta come on. Yeah, really. You gotta do your homework on this one. I think they did. Was it? What was the spread again?
2.5-point favorite. Atlanta was the 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think New Orleans won the game.
I think they won by 3.
Yeah. Well, if New Orleans wins the game, then if Atlanta was a favorite, which team did he have?
He had New Orleans.
Well, then he won.
Okay, then he won. He's 3-0. And he had the national championship game for his bowl game, and he took Oregon, who was the underdog in that game, to cover over Auburn, and Oregon lost the game, so he's 3-1, so that leaves me as the champion.
Okay. I figured that you would at least arrive at that particular, prognostication. Congratulations, by the way, going 3-0-1, 3 wins and a push. And
yeah, man!
But we did have... Two fans here of the program finished 3-1, which is certainly respectable. So, way to keep up the tradition, I'm proud of you, son. Now, go make me some money.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Go shovel the driveway.
Yeah, everybody says go shovel the driveway. You want to make some money, go shovel the driveway?
I'm good.
That's what I thought. All right. There's Austin Rook, the rookie, a.k.a. the rookie. You know what? We'll bring him back on for a holiday contest again next year. Maybe we'll even do it a little bit more often if we have the time, but we'll bring him back on to do that. So thanks, Austin. Appreciate that. So for those that might be wondering, no, we hadn't forgotten. We were still doing the contest, and we just had to wait for the national championship game to get over with since that was one of the games that we were all picking, or at least all the participants were picking. So... there you go. All right. Now, I got a couple other things. I got a ton of emails here we're going to get to, so I want to get to a bunch of the emails here. Again, webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us on the show. The telephone number, 508-543-7482. In the Ace Ticket Hotline, and, of course, Facebook page, where we've got a lot of chats and a lot of posts going on as well. So we're multitasking here today inside the playbook with a foot and a half or more of snow on the ground outside. And yes, the crews are in the stadium working, already begun working on snow removal for Sunday. But from what I understand, we're supposed to get rain on Sunday. That's the last thing I saw.
What
not
forecast
so much...
are you looking at?
Weather.com.
No, we were looking at NOAA.gov, and somebody emailed in 34 and sunny.
On Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Really? Okay. Well, then maybe they changed it again. I don't know. This was the last one that I looked at was about noontime today, and here it is. It's 3:15 Eastern time, so it's been 3 hours. Maybe they changed the forecast again, but it looked like they had a chance of rain on Sunday. But it's 34 and sunny on Sunday? The last one?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's probably a good thing then. Give us plenty of time to clear all the snow out and make sure that there won't be any field condition problems. Daniel from Hamilton, Ontario says, I'm not even a Patriots fan. Good. And we had somebody answer here. But I think the tactics the Jets are using are futile and pathetic. They won't get into the heads of the Patriots by calling them names or saying it's personal. The Patriots have shown a lot of maturity by continuing to focus on the game, not the media. All right, Daniel, thank you for that. Sure appreciate that response today, and we appreciate your listening to the show. We hope you'll come back again. Here we go. Kay our my Aggie friend here says, can they record the way you say Rex is a buffoon and play it for me? I love the way you say it. So apt. Okay. All right. I don't know. Do we want to do that? Do we want me to say Rex is a buffoon? You want to record that, Jason?
I think you just said it.
What's that?
I think you just said it three times.
Okay. Rex is a buffoon. Okay. There you go. Okay. There you go. Happy to help out my Aggie fans here. Brad from the Eastern Shore is on our Ace Ticket Hotline. Wants to chime in here. Brad, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, John? I guess you guys got a little more snow than we did.
What did you guys get?
We got about a quarter inch of ice and then about 3 inches of snow. So
see, ice sucks, man.
Yeah.
Because this, you just don't know. I'd rather get the snow and deal with the snow than have ice. I'll give you that.
Totally agree. It's a pain in the neck to clear off your cars and everything else. So
I agree with that. What's on your mind today?
I got three worries about this weekend.
Shoot.
First worry is we have been vulnerable to trick plays all season long.
Okay.
And I just feel like all this junk, the guys on PFW yesterday were talking about, you know, Larry Bird talked smack, but it was always on the court. And I would have even taken it a step further saying he talked the most smack when he was draining threes and they were up by 12 points. Mm-hmm. And he was letting the other team know, you're not coming back. You're not going to beat us. But I think this cover-up of Rex trying to say it's all about me, it's personal. He knows his team can't beat the Patriots. And when a team knows they can't beat another team, what do they fall back on? A bunch of trick plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen it a couple times this year. You know, we're ready for everything except the trick play. And so that's not my number one worry, but that's a worry.
Okay.
My second worry is that when the game gets out of hand, that there'll be some cheap shots taken. With the rhetoric that these guys have had, if the score gets to be 27-3, you know, 31-10, you know, I'm worried that these guys will take some cheap shots. Because I think it has gotten personal with a lot of these Jets players. And, you know, I can see somebody coming on a blitz and just, you know, de-cleating Brady head high.
Mm-hmm.
Or taking Branch out at the knees, you know, law firm is being held up at the line on a running play and a guy just comes in and just cracks down on his knees. I just can't, you know, we don't trust the Jets. Just, you know, we know that they seem to talk a dirty game. And I think, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to play a dirty game.
Okay.
And the last thing is I fear that Belichick will take his, we'll throttle it back when it gets to be about 28-3.
Are you kidding me?
And I want to see it be 56-3.
Well, let me address that part of it. I'll be honest with you, Brad. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And here's why. You got another game to play next week. If you're up 28-3 in the third quarter, I don't think that they'll take the pedal off the metal, but I don't think they'll be as aggressive on offense. In other words, I think the players will stay out there because I think they have to. I think you'll still see Brady. I don't think you'll see Brian Hoyer come in, that kind of thing. But, you know, it wouldn't be at all surprising to see some guys begin to substitute in a little bit more frequently and, you know, rotate some more players where they actually have some depth, whether it might be in the secondary or the backer core or certainly on the offensive line and in the backfield. And the reason I say that is just because, hey, you're going to have another physical matchup come up next week with either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, and you want to make sure that you're going to have as many guys fresh and healthy as possible. So while I understand where Patriots fans were going to be looking for blood on this one, and I'll be right there with you, I certainly can see at least being, you know, cut back a little bit rather than, or, you know, dialed down a notch, rather than keeping it full metal to the pedal. I can understand that.
What do you think will be the bigger insult, John, if we run the score to 45-3 again, or if Hoyer comes in halfway through the third quarter? What do you think Rex would take as a bigger insult?
Hoyer.
I think so, too. I think if it's 31-3 or 31-7, and we put Hoyer in with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, I would think the New York Jets would be absolutely livid.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
And you know, it would kind of be neat, even if he just did it for a series, it would be neat to have Bill do it. just to say, you know, it's not even worth having Brady out there anymore. We're gonna put Hoyer in.
So. Well, actually, you know, it would be sort of serving a dual purpose then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would solve my worry about the cheap shot, and it would be almost the biggest insult I would think you could give.
Then hell, Brad, let's just root like hell for that. I mean, that'd be great.
To see Hoyer come in the third quarter would just, I would think the fans would, you know, I would hope that the fans would recognize what it was and just go absolutely nuts. You know, saying, hey, we're just signifying that this game is no longer competitive and we're moving on to next week.
No question.
So I'm, you know, I've looked at it from every way I can as a lifetime fan of the Pats, and I'm coming up with 31-10.
31-10? Okay.
Yeah, I think
Think the Jets offense can score then?
No, I think I think they'll get one score. I think we'll give up a big play. And they'll score off of that one big play, and then they'll be able to move the ball enough to get in field goal range. I have no faith in Sanchez. I can't see him as a franchise quarterback. I think that's going to be a big another Golston. You know, they drafted Golston thinking he was going to be the next Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
I don't see Sanchez doing anything better.
Okay, fair enough, Brad. I like the prediction. I'm going to give the Jets a few more points than that. I said yesterday 30-20, and I think I'm going to stay there.
With 31-13. I just think that the Patriots are going to get them in a position where they're going to be forcing turnovers, and I think the Jets will get to midfield. I think they'll get to the 40, but I don't see them being able to move the ball enough to get in field goal range for two or three easy field goals to make it, you know, 16 or 19 points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think our defense, Bill's going to rush him hard and just tell McCourty and Arrington, you know, play your men tight.
Yeah, agreed.
And take away those long looping throws, because that's all he does. If you look, all of Sanchez's long throws are just those high – I call them Bledsoe throws.
Yeah,
when Bledsoe would just, you know, he and Terry Glenn would just throw those 40-yard bombs.
Sure.
And they were just those high arcing things that Glenn would run under.
Right.
If your defensive back is back there with them, they're interceptions instead of completions.
I agree with that. I think it's a good point.
The
yeah.
one in Indy that he threw to Edwards at the end of the game, the Indy cornerback was so far out of position, he didn't even know where the ball was, let alone make a play on it. You know, he was almost like falling down behind Edwards, and Edwards jumps up, catches the ball, falls out of bounds.
Right.
So I don't see McCourty doing that. I see McCourty having a great game.
That's the one thing that does concern me a little bit is the Patriots trying, you know, secondary, hoping not to get beat deep so they play soft on the Jets receivers. That does concern me because that's been a point of contention of mine all season long, as most listeners of the program know. That's the one constant criticism I've had of the Patriots secondary is the fact that I thought they've been too soft on opposing receivers. They're just too scared to get beat over the top.
Well, that in the deep middle.
Well, yeah, but that's because you have a guy like Brandon Merriweather back there that sometimes, you know, reacts with his heart and not his head.
Right. Well, you know, I honestly think we may see a lot of Chung and a lot of Page, and we may not see a lot of Merriweather.
I wouldn't be disappointed with that.
Right, me either.
Yeah.
I think that's what we'll be seeing a lot of. Chung on the tight end there, Dustin Keller. Mm-hmm. I think that's a plus for us.
I agree.
And I think you'll see a lot of Page in the middle, and we're going to, you know, try to limit the exposure of Merriweather deep.
So. That's good stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
All righty. Well, hey,
Brad,
we're rooting, and, you know, get that crowd whipped up Sunday because, you know, all the way down here in Maryland, I'll be screaming.
Awesome.
All righty, John.
I appreciate your calling.
Take care.
Brad on the Eastern Shore joining us here in the playbook. Let me, that opens up a line at 508-543-7482 if you want to join us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let me get back to some emails here. This one comes from James in Webster Groves, Missouri. Rex Ryan needs to realize when the season starts, his wannabe reality sideshow gig is over. Football is already reality TV. Real teams do not need added hype to get ready for a big game. I'm from St. Louis and have been a Pats fan since the early 70s. First the tuna, now the best ever in Belichick. What a ride. Wish I could make it up for a game like this one day. Patriots 99, Jets nothing. That'd be an investigation if that ever happened, but I appreciate the sentiment. Here we go. Buddy from Tallahassee, Florida. John, how I look at the comments from the Jets reminds me of a comment from World War II after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. A Japanese commander in charge of the attack said, "I fear we have awoken a great beast." I think that calling out Belichick and Brady like the Jets have will focus them more and give them more motivation to shut them up at the game. All right, buddy. I can't say that I disagree with that. I think, in fact, you're spot on with that assessment. At least today, you're spot on with that assessment. This one comes from Gene in Daytona Beach. Hey, Gene, how are you today? John, I heard on WEEI this morning a caller said she and her friends will be going to the game Sunday and will be waving green foam feet. I hope the game will become a media circus over this. It's possible. Green foam feet. Jason, do we know of anybody that, you know, is any podiatrist or anything that's gotten a little smart marketing idea with something like that?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll see some green foam feet in the stands on Sunday. Very cool. Craig from Philly, formerly from North Carolina on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Craig, what are you doing in Philly?
In environmental health and safety.
Gotcha. All right.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you called in. What's going on today?
Well, I was basically calling to respond to your questions about Brady's ethics on the field.
Go for it.
All right. Brady has always had a little chip on his shoulder because of his draft status. And he's always been, you know, defiantly striving to prove himself. And that's part of the reason why he studies the way that he does and why he works out the way that he does and why he pushes the rest of the offense. So his actions on the field are exactly what you stated earlier. You know, you do your talking out on the field. The Jets, more so than any other team, secondly, would be the Chargers, like to talk smack to the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They like to try to play head games and whatnot, and that just rubs Brady the wrong way. So, yeah, I've seen him pointing after somebody scores. I've seen him walk up to a DB that's been talking smack and point right at him, say a couple of words, turn around and walk off. And I don't blame him for that at all. I mean, the guy's intense. You know, I'd rather have a fiery, highly capable quarterback like Brady on my squad than somebody whose demeanor is somewhat placid, you know, like an Eli Manning. And that's what makes Brady the leader that he is.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I certainly think that most fans, to be honest with you, would probably agree with that. I don't think anything really. See, we're going to look at it from a different perspective than Jets fans. Patriots fans are going to look at it differently. Why? Because you support the Patriots. But as I suggested earlier, you know, sort of along the same lines here, I'm not so sure that that is a taunt in the true taunt sense of the word. You know, the taunt is, you know, to really try to shove it back in somebody's face. I think that more is his reaction has been more of a natural reaction to succeeding on the field. And I suggested and used my very poor analogy earlier from my own failed experiments as an athlete. But it's kind of like, you know, hey, every once in a while, I can get one back on you. How about that? I respect you. Now respect me.
Yeah, I think his actions are much more of a response than they are something that he initiates.
Yes, I agree with that, yes.
So I'm really looking forward to the game. I think that one thing that I'm going to be watching for very much is with Bill being the historian that he is, with him being the schemer that he is, I fully anticipate him to pull a bag of tricks out. And basically what I'm referring to is something like what he did with Flutie and the dropkick. Basically a way to, in a classy way, rub Rex's nose in it. So I would not be a bit surprised if after we gain a respectful lead that since Rex is so determined that his team is the most physical in football and that LT was calling us finesse, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we just lined up with all three tight ends and got the law firm back there and just ran the hell out of the ball and just chewed up the clock.
Yep. I agree. I think you're right on. I think that's probably one of the things they'll try to do. Although I really don't know that they're going to change. You know, I think they'll try to attack. They'll try to attack the Jets every which way they can. I don't think that they'll necessarily do it to keep the ball out of the Jets' offensive hand or anything like that. Because I don't think there's any one thing in particular the Jets do. One thing that the Jets have not been great at, really, is come from behind. I think what they'll try to do is get the Jets out of their comfort zone, which is running the football, and they'll try to jump on them quickly. And so I think the Patriots will try to get command, which means get the lead, as quickly as they possibly can.
Well, absolutely. And with Belichick knowing that the Jets' best hope of winning this game is keeping the ball away from Brady, that means they're going to play ball control and run. So do you think he'll accept the ball if we win the coin toss, or do you think that he'll defer?
I can understand why you would want them to take the ball to jump on him, but I think they will always defer.
Yeah, that way Brady gets the ball and starts second half.
Right, and I think the Patriots usually do it this way, where they will manage the clock, where if they have the ball with 5, 6, 7 minutes left to go in the second quarter, they're really going to try to manage that as best as they can and take it right down to the end, so that way they know they get a score, and then they can have the ball and try to score with the first possession of the third quarter. I don't see that strategy changing.
No, I don't either, and I do agree with what you said earlier. This team is way ahead of schedule. I know I certainly didn't think that they would have the positive results that they've had, and I'm really proud of the work the guys have put in.
Right there with you, brother. Take care in Philly. What kind of snow did you guys get?
We only got about 8 inches.
That's not bad.
Nah,
not bad
not
at all.
Bad.
That's nothing.
All right,
that's just
keep up the good work,
flurry.
John.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate the call.
Okay, bye.
Let's go back to, let's see what we have here. Oh, I got some other emails I want to share with you here. This one comes from Nathan, who says, do you think any of the Cromartie banter is to try to bait Brady into throwing it to receivers, which Cromartie is covering? I think that the Jets tried to do that the last time with Revis and dared the Pats to throw it to Moss with Revis covering him. Also, do you think that Rex Ryan is coaching some of their trash talk and even encouraging it to try to get the players to play out of their element during game day? Stay warm and look forward to hearing your show later. I got a podcast. That's Nathan. Thanks, Nathan. You know, that's interesting. Yeah, it could be. Could be. If I'm Cromartie, absolutely. Why not? You know, sometimes guys feel like they need a little bit more of a challenge, and so they're going to throw that out there, and they feel like it'll help them get going a little bit more. I don't know. Could be. But, I don't think it's going to affect the way the Patriots game plan at all. If the game plan calls for them to go in his direction, that's what they're going to do, regardless of what Antonio, don't call me Warren, Cromartie says. I didn't want to call him Warren all week, so I had to get that one in there. Yes, I know. Warren Cromartie played a different sport. John, in Dallas. The question, does Brady's pointing qualify as taunting? I guess it depends on which finger he uses. Good one. I like that, John. Seriously. I love how I laugh out loud. Sorry about that. I think the finger pointing happens when we get a lot of chatter out of the Jets or another team, like we saw with the Jackwagon who played for Pittsburgh. That reminds me of that commercial. Call somebody a Jackwagon. I don't think I've ever seen anybody actually write that. You know, the commercial for Geico, where the drill sergeant is a therapist. Oh, you Jackwagon! Brady is typically quiet if he is not being challenged. Perhaps we should instruct Brady to point a toe instead of a finger. Rex might take that as a compliment. I like that. Oh, as Jim Rome would say, wreck him! I like that email. Good email, John. You got me going on that one.
Really
excellent. Yes, excellent. I like it. All right, here we go. Moving along. That's just disgusting, isn't it? I mean, really.
Wow, they're like really soft. They're like really soft.
Oh, Lord. this one comes from... Yeah, I know. Oh, he didn't say. It doesn't say where it's coming from. It's from MP Gray is all I'll say here. That's the first part of the email address. John, just wanted to tell you about my dad, who was 91 years old, World War II veteran, a diehard Patriots fan. Before every game, I always look up to heaven and ask Daddy to give them the strength to win and sprinkle winning dust all over Gillette Stadium or wherever they play. I heard you about an hour ago talking about if there was a Patriot God. And, John, yes, there is my sweet dad. Oh, that's good to know. That's awesome. Thank you for that, MP, and God bless you. And your father. I'm really happy that he was a Patriots fan. I'm glad he's looking out for us all. Let's go to Craig, who sends this email. I think, John, a main reason why a lot of people like the Patriots is because of the Patriot way, the mentality that if everyone does their job and focuses on a common goal, you can be successful. It's a great story, and this is a great team. It's easy to support winners who do nothing to inflame situations to glorify themselves. It's refreshing. You see teams like Cincinnati that has led legal troubles and off-field stuff like the Ocho Cinco and Owens reality TV show. It's just not how this team operates. As Brady once said, well done is always better than well said. Craig in Ottawa, Ontario. Thank you, Craig. Next up, we have Tiff from Wisconsin. Hello, Tiff. Good to hear from you today. John, there's no way the Jets can do what Green Bay did to us. Green Bay has a better offense and a better defense. Green Bay is just way better than the Jets. It's just that simple. They're the best team in the NFC. It's like a Pop Warner team saying we can beat the Pats because the Browns gave us the blueprint. That's an overrated meme. Overrated meme. Okay. The blueprint isn't any use if you don't have the tools to execute the blueprint. Green Bay executed on both sides of the ball. Have the Jets had a complete game all year against a team with a winning record? By complete game, I mean offense, defense, and special teams. They had that one good week against the Patriots. How many since? Agreed. Certainly, I was going to say, well, they had the Patriots back in week two, but I think we all realized that was back in week two. And I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say the Patriots are a different team now than they were back in week two. I don't know about the Jets. Are they different? Yeah, I think you could certainly make the excuse that the Jets are different, and I'm not necessarily sure that's for the better than they were in week two. Tiff says, if I were the Jets, I would consider trading away a draft pick for Matt Flynn. He's a heck of a lot better than Sanchez. He's made more plays at Gillette than Sanchez has. Anywhere else, Sanchez would be considered a bust. Interesting, Tiff. And thanks for chiming in today. Good stuff, as always. Now we've got Andrew, who says, I have no problem with Cromartie, Rex Ryan, or anyone else talking, because whether the Pats win or lose... Excuse me, they won't look like idiots for not talking. On the other hand, if the Jets lose, they'll look like a team that is all talk. Ryan will look like a coach who can't win the big game, can't out-coach the best. And once again, the Pats and their entire organization will look like champions once again. So let them talk. Let them talk all they want. Heck, let their coaches trip players, dream about feet, catcall every female reporter in the stadium, because the Pats will stay quiet and let their play do the talking. Just like last time when they said 45-3. Goodbye, once and for all this season, Jets. It's Andrew in Sandy, Utah.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
Just too much, isn't it? Oh, my goodness, too much. Bill. John, learn flippin' English. MC is pronounced Mick. Mac is pronounced Mac. How do you pronounce McDonald's farm? MacDonald. Did you get this guy to email me? Learn flippin' English. What part of the country are you from, Bill? You know, you don't put that down in your email, but what part of the country are you from? You know, in my part of the country, it's Mac. MC is Mac, not Mick. MC is an abbreviation for MAC. So you answer my question. What part of the country are you from? There. Okay, this one comes from Tyler from Georgia. Tyler says, did it ever occur to the Jets that maybe Brady is pointing and taunting in response to what they're saying? All season, Rex has made comments about Brady and hailing his team the greatest since sliced bread, to use his own metaphor. And then when a team responds to this through scoring point after point and allegedly pointing, they all freak out because someone has called them out. Also, do you think it makes the Jets matter that the Patriots respond with compliments to them, to these comments, rather than insults? I don't know. I think it probably, you know, I'm sure that they really don't care one way or the other. Otherwise, I don't think they would even begun to say what they've said. But there's got to be somebody in that Jets locker room that's thinking, well, you know, don't figure that the Patriots are going to bite on this because that's just their modus operandi. They just don't do that. And there's probably more than one or two guys on the team that cringe, but just keep themselves quiet because they know that the outward, sort of identification mark of this Jets team is one of a lot of talk, a lot of bravado. False bravado, but nevertheless out there in your face. And so they just kind of let other guys do the talking, and they're just going to go out and play their game. Why? Because they're just, you know, they're just pro football players, and they're just going to go do their job. Maybe they, maybe the other guys who are quiet in that locker room, maybe they're just kind of enjoying the entertainment of it all, just like it seems like the Patriots players, for the most part, are also doing. I don't know, but it'd be interesting to be a player inside that Jets locker room and get someone else's opinion other than the loudmouths, you know, like Cromartie and Rex Ryan and Braylon Edwards, who's been out there in the past, and, you know, let's see. I mean, probably a half a dozen guys you can probably point to, right? So, at any rate, you know, speaking of Brady, I think, Jace, we do have his comments from earlier today, correct?
Yep.
All right. Let's play some of those at this point in time, and then we'll come back and wrap up with some more emails. But I wanted to do this because, frankly, you don't get a chance to do that a lot here. And because of the calling out by Antonio Cromartie today, I feel like it's probably worthwhile to get Tom's comments. So if you haven't had a chance to hear these, here now is Tom Brady with members of the media at Gillette Stadium earlier today.
Problems driving?
No, it was actually, yeah, it was kind of crazy driving in today. So I think everyone made it safe and sound. So hopefully everyone else on the road did too.
Everybody was in on time, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's a first, you know. But it was tough conditions, I think, for everyone. I'm sure you guys experienced the same thing. Everyone's here, ready to work. You know, get prepared for the biggest game of the year.
Antonio Cromartie called you some not-so-nice thing. I don't know if you've heard, but he called you...
Oh, yeah. I've been called worse. I've been called worse. So, sure, there's a long list of people that feel that way. But, you know, he's a good player. I mean, Revis is a great player. You know, they got a great secondary, and, you know, they're one of the best defenses we face. So, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time preparing for them, what they're capable of doing over there. And to shut down the Colts' offense like they did is pretty impressive. Because we know how good that offense is, but you know, we're gonna get ready to play.
Tom, how are you a different quarterback? Like when you came into this league, you rattle off three Super Bowl wins right off the bat, and then you know it's been about 5 years since the last win. You go through a big knee injury, you go through the upset loss. How are you different now as a quarterback?
Well, I mean, I think the way I've been here for a while, so I've seen our offense evolve. You know, we do some different things now than we've done in the past. I mean, ultimately, we're still trying to do the same thing, to be productive and win games.
But how about you personally? Do you see
I don't know. You know, I think personally, I mean, you know, I'm most concerned about what our offense does. And you know, I'm a part of this offense, and what we do is dependent on the players that we have. So whether it's a quarterback or the other positions, you know, we're trying to do certain things this week to get open against this defense. You know, our things change from week to week. So what we did 7 or 8 years ago is certainly going to be different than what we're doing this
week.
Not
a different perspective, though, or outlook or anything like that?
My outlook's always kind of been the same, to be the best quarterback that I can be for this team, whatever role that coach asked me to be.
Tom, and, do you think things that the Jets are accusing you? I mean, do you point at the sidelines? Do you, I mean, Rex talked about Clint, described him as your antics. I mean, do you feel like you do any of that, or is this all coming out of nowhere?
I mean, I'm sure I'm an emotional player, so, I mean, it's, you know, all in the spirit of the game and the competition. I don't know. He'd probably answer that better than I would.
Tom, is it a little more fun, do you think, when you're facing a team where there's general dislike on both sides?
Is it more fun? I mean, it's...
Or more satisfying to win?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's always more satisfying to win, you know, especially games like this. Not that you need any more satisfaction to win a game like this, because it's the biggest game we've played all season. And I'm always satisfied when we win. I think there's certainly big games that we've had against them. The last game at home was a very big game, and that was very satisfying. So this one would be satisfying also.
What you take in all the talk that's coming out of the camp? I mean, does it make you chuckle? I mean, do you just kind of ignore it? How do you look at everything that they're saying this week?
Well, you know, we're spending our time getting ready to play. I don't think we're spending our time figuring out what we can do to combat, you know, what people may say about us or
You know, not everybody has, you know, great things to say about our team, our organization, or certain players, and that's kind of the way it's always been. So, you know, we're just going to do our talking on the field.
Tom, I think
that's what we've always chosen to do.
Tom, I know guys like Rodney and Vrabel used to always say, though, play the respect card and everything else. Can what another team says have any effect on what goes on here at all?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see on Sunday afternoon at 7:30. Like that's when, you know, everybody will be able to tell whether it played a role or not.
Tom, you've been on both sides. You've been on both sides of the coin as far as blowout losses. That second matchup, who does it help or motivate more in that second game when there was a huge discrepancy that last game that you guys played?
Well, I mean, I think that I don't think it helps anyone. You know, I think what helps the most is what we're going to do, you know, this game. And I mean, anything we did in the last game, it's not going to have any effect on this game. You know, I think they're going to certainly try to do some different things. We're going to do some different things. You know, you can't go into the same game to the next game thinking, oh, we're going to do everything we've done. You know, we're going to do a bunch of new things. It's things that they, you know, haven't seen or aren't working on and try to do them really well. You know, that's what we try to do every week.
Yesterday, Deion said he could see the difference from when he was here earlier in his career to now, how you have changed as a leader, maybe more vocal, more in your face, maybe. When do you think you made that transition, and at what point did you decide that that was necessary?
I don't know. I think I've always kind of been the same. You know, as naturally you get older, you have more of a vocal role on the team. You know, as I've been elected a captain, I have more of a voice for the team, which I really take seriously. And, you know, it's certainly an honor when your teammates elect you as a captain, as a representative to speak for the team in that role. So, and I don't think there's been, you know, I still love to compete and play and win. I'm sure Deion realized that before he left and when he was gone and when he came back. And, you know, I see the same things in Deion, the things that make him a great player he still has, and his competitiveness and his determination. You know, that's kind of, we have a whole team full of guys like that.
He called you a dork.
Deion did?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah, in the study room watching film, said he's kind of a dork. I don't mean to.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I could see that, you know. I'm flattered.
Are you a bit of a dork when it comes to studying? I mean, your studying kind of came under question earlier this week. I mean, are you a bookworm when it comes to?
I mean, it's, I do what my coach, you know, asked me to do, and you know, however he feels I need to prepare, you know, he'll let me know. Look, we try to win games, you know. I mean, look at you know what we've accomplished over 10 years, and I think that speaks for the whole preparation of our team. You know, that's why we play to win games more so than anything else. You're not trying to do anything other than win. The goal of playing football is to win and to every time you take the field, score more points than the other team. However you need to get that done, that's what you got to do.
Tom, did you dread this when you woke up this morning? Did you say, here we go, I know what they want?
The weather?
Yeah. No, us, the media, just the talk back and forth. Do you kind of dread it like?
Well, we don't engage in it very often. I mean, every once in a while, maybe someone will say something. But for the most part, our team has just stayed the course and spent our time preparing for the other team. And you know, like I said, we can sit here and say a whole bunch of things too, but I think we realize it's really not the point of what this team's all about and what this organization's all about, all the way from the owner of our team to the head coach of our team, and that trickles down to the players. Now, other teams may have a different view or perspective on how they want to handle things, and, you know, when you're a representative of the organization, like, you know, the Patriot team is, that's how we try to conduct ourselves.
What did you see from the Jets D on Saturday night against Peyton and company?
I mean, they're very much the same defense they've been over the last few years, and you know, they do a lot of things very well. You know, they can pressure the quarterback. It's a big blitz team. They got great man coverage corners. You know, it's a very disciplined group of players. It's a very veteran group of players. They're very tough and physical. They play well on the road. They play well in cold weather, you know, like they did against Cincinnati last year. So it's a good defense. They, you know, they're the Jets. They always have seen to have a pretty good defense.
Tom, could you speak to your offensive line and, you know, how much trust do you have in them now? And specifically Dan Copen, a guy who's kind of been there for you, you know, year in, year out.
Yeah, I mean, there's They've been around for a while, so we have so much familiarity between us. They're a great group of guys. They work extremely hard. You know, anytime you have the cohesiveness that they've had over the years, it makes for a great group. And it's about communication and trust with that group. When you make a certain call, you got to know that the guy is there for you if you're passing a line stunt, for example. And the longer you play together, typically the better you get. And I think, you know, those guys work very hard. They're coached very hard. Dante Scarnecchia is, you know, a hell of an offensive line coach. You know, we put a lot of stuff on our offensive line, you know, to get out blocking on screens and then to block pass rushers. And, you know, you need to be athletic. You need to be strong. You've got to be able to understand the protection schemes we come up with, and things change pretty quickly at the line of scrimmage. So they all do a great job with that.
Tom, the last time you played in the week lead up to the Jets, you said you were comfortable after studying film and watching film. You know, you thought you saw enough on film that you were comfortable with the defense. Feel that same way this time around?
Well, I mean, I think the point is the more you see a team play, the more you can see the themes that, you know, over the course of the season that really play out. So when it's the first week of the year, second week of the year, third week of the year, you haven't seen a lot of film. It's hard to know what a, you know, defense's strengths or weaknesses may be. At this point in the season, after a team's played 17 games, you have a pretty good feel for the things that have worked or haven't worked. You know, and then we devise a game plan based on the things that we do well to try to exploit some of those things. Now, whether it works or not, that's why we play. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Hopefully it works more times than it doesn't this week. But, you know, you never know until you go out there and kind of put it to the test.
Tom, what does it say about Coach Belichick that he said he'd take all the bullets when it came to the back and forth with the Jets this week, and no one has veered off script this week at all? What does it say about your coach and your teammates that everybody's pretty much on board and talking to
good talk? Well, we just do what works for us. You know, it may not work for other teams. You know, they have a great group of players that prepare a certain way. It obviously works for them. So, you know, I know when, you know, you walk into this locker room, there's a certain example that's set by, like I said, by Mr. Kraft and Jonathan, and by Coach Belichick, that the players understand. And when we're a part of this organization, we try to adhere to, you know, the way they want us to conduct ourselves. So, you know, we try to do things a certain way.
All right, that's Tom Brady from earlier today at Gillette Stadium with members of the media. You got a taste of, you know, basically what he faces, you know, whenever he has to face the media. You know, not a whole lot of heavy grilling there, of course, but, you know, certainly he had a more than ample-sized crowd around him today in spite of the snowstorm up here in the Northeast, simply because of Antonio Cromartie's comments and Rex Ryan's comments this week leading up to the game. Let's finish up today with your thoughts and your emails. This one comes from Arky in Boston, who says, I think the Jets organization needs to know and really understand that the Patriots are victors in all aspects of victory. They're classy, they're hard workers, and they're winners. Know why? Because they work like they can, believe they can, and on Sunday they will play like they can. And then he proceeds to send me a copy of the poem The Victor by C.W. Longenecker, which is actually one of my favorites. So, Arky, you're right on, spot on about that. Thank you for sending it, because I actually have this poem framed in my office wall here at my home office. If you haven't heard this, it's a good one. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but you think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. For if you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Go Patriots, says Arky in Boston. Thanks for sending that. Always love reading that poem. Excellent. And I try to live by that every day. Eric from Cali says, cry Marty. All he's trying to do is get in Brady's head, but he can't. That's Giselle's job. It's like Madden says, kill the head and the body will die. But it ain't going to work. This is most likely your typical crybaby. You taunt out on the field and you prove it in the field, and all you because you can't taunt in the field or you get a darn penalty. So on, cry Marty. He's just a big baby that's going to get his bottle after Sunday night so he can sleep quietly. Love the show and all Patriots fans. All right. Thank you, Eric and Callie. Let's see. Next up, Tiff sends this note again. Isn't it rich that as much trash talking as the Jets do prior to the game, they decry so-called trash talking on the field? Kind of what we've been talking about today, huh, Tiff? In addition, I thought that out of professional courtesy, players didn't discuss so-called trash talking that occurs on the field. What professional athlete complains about trash talking? So what if Brady's trash talking while he's on the field? LaDainian Tomlinson pounds on his chest every time he manages to pick up 4 or 5 yards on a play. Braylon practices like a you-know-what whenever he prances like a you-know-what whenever he gets to the end zone. No, I don't know what, Tiff. What are you trying to say here? Call him out. By the way, the Jets treat every first down like a Super Bowl win. I actually hope Tom Brady does point at the Jets sideline when he makes a play or throws a touchdown pass. Too bad Tom can't bring up the YouTube video of Cartman's famous teasing. Please, please, have the producer play that Cartman tease. It's great. It is pretty good. Is that the tease she was talking about? I think there's several Cartman teases. That's a good one, too. All right, here we go.
Very funny, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Just makes me laugh. I like to laugh at myself a lot. That shows you what kind of a life I've got. Here's Dave in Millis, Massachusetts. John, talk about making mountains out of molehills. Is this whole Tom Brady taunting stuff the best the New York media can come up with? Come on. If you read the actual article in the New York Post by Mark Hale, which spawned the subject, it's actually pretty mild and a real non-story. The headline is, Ellis says Brady taunted Jets en route. Well, in the article, Sean Ellis states Brady pointed and taunted after a touchdown like every player does in the NFL. Funny thing is, the article goes on to quote several other Jet players who say Brady isn't much of a trash talker and just goes on about his business on the field. Just an example of the New York media trying to come up with something, anything the Jets can post on their bulletin board for motivation. Pretty sad. Thank you for that, Dave. Now, Fat Pat says, Sup, John. I went back and checked out the highlights of the 45-3 game against the bleeping Jets, and all I really noticed was on the touchdown to Deion Branch to make it 17-0, you can see Brady barking at the Jets sideline as he's jogging toward the end zone. But I could care less about trash talk on the field. I don't even care about Cromartie and the rest of them talking trash off the field. Shoot, it didn't even bother me if Sexy Rexy is cuckolding his wife to his players for them to show up to camp. I like how demoralizing and crushed the opponent looks after they've been beaten. It makes the victory that much more sweeter, with exceptions of the Patriots. I'm the type of fan that roots for the home team to lose so the TV cameras can scan through the crowd and show the faces of the deflated souls in the stadium. Wow. If I like that sight so much, imagine how the Jets will feel to see that in Foxborough. But if we lose this game, I might just drink a bottle of gasoline and swallow a lighter. Anyway, the point is Brady does all of his trash talking on the field where it really matters, so it's no big deal. Bear in NJ, New Jersey, says, John, I'll be making it up to my first NFL game in Section 214 this Sunday to hopefully see the Pats kill the Jets. As I can tell you, living in New Jersey with their fan base is intolerable. I'll be spending the Saturday in downtown Boston. I'm wondering if you could let me in on a good sports bar to watch the Baltimore-Pittsburgh and Green Bay Atlanta games. I was also wondering what you'd think of me making a sign that says CBS stands for Jets Suck. I don't think you'll get on TV with that one, pal. In fact, I can almost guarantee it. Sports bar. I don't know. I mean, the only ones that I ever go to up in Boston, quite frankly, are the ones around Fenway. You know, I go to Game On at Fenway. What else, Jason? What else are we recommending?
I was going to say, he should just get in the football spirit and come on down to Foxborough and go to CBS Scene.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I know there'll be a ton of Patriot fans hanging out at CBS Scene in Foxborough. So that might also be a good place to go up to. But you can't go wrong if you head down to Fenway, place like Game On or you know, someplace like that, because that's usually a bunch of sports fans hanging out.
Boston Beer Works, Cask and
Flag. Boston Beer Works is there, Cask and Flag, and all the usual Sox hangouts turn into Patriot hangouts during the wintertime anyway. Okay, Steve, in the heart of Texas. Hi, Steve. You have to help me. I hope you're holding down the fort there, because I do miss the heart of Texas. You have to help me. I'm not sure what Rex has been drinking, but when did he morph into William Shatner as Captain Kirk beaming down on the planet NFL to battle everyone one-on-one for Jets supremacy? While it makes for great copy to line the bird cages, I expect no less than a hard-fought win for the Pats come Sunday. It says, insert original Star Trek fight music here. Keep up the great work, and could the rookie help me with the over-under on Belichick versus Rex? Thanks. I'm sure he'd be happy to help you, but only after he helps his old man learn how to work the system as well. Then we actually might, you know, not have to worry about his college education coming up. Okay. Here we go. Bill. Is that the Star Trek? Is that from Star Trek? Sounds like it.
Yep.
I like it. Although I think I'd rather hear the Star Wars music. You know, the Death Star March. I mean, we kind of reserve that, I think, for when we're talking about Red Sox Yankees a lot up here in the Northeast. You know, talking about the evil empire. You know, I don't know that the Jets so much qualify as evil empire. Maybe the Patriots are the ones actually qualifying as the evil empire in the NFL. But that music is just like, you know, it could be bold and chilling. Do you have the Death March? The Death Star March from Star Wars, Jace? Yes. Oh, yeah. Here come the big bad Patriots. Oh, yeah. Now, if that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what the heck will, right? It's definitely going to happen today. Definitely going to happen. Still thinking about 30-20 the score, but I do have to give the Jets a lot of credit here. I do think that this will be a game going into the fourth quarter when the Patriots are going to hopefully put a little airspace between them and the Jets before all is said and done. It's going to wrap up our edition of Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday. Keep in mind that tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Playbook will be back. It'll be a special edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. He's going to fill in for me tomorrow because I'll be trying to make my way to Morgantown, West Virginia for a college basketball game tomorrow night. So if you manage to tune in on Friars.com, or listening on WEEI-FM, and I'm there, well, you'll know that I made it. If I'm not there, well, you'll know that I'll be cursing somewhere in an airport between here and there.
If you catch Friars All Access, you'll see old Patriots friend
Christina
Acra.
Yeah, she hosts the Friars All Access show on Cox, so good for Christina. We've seen her actually doing some Big East basketball sideline reporting as well up here over the last few weeks, so it's all good. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in today and, making us a part of your day. We're happy that we could do it in spite of the weather today. Jason, thank you for everything. And we'll plan on being back same Pats time, same Pats channel next week, talking about an AFC championship in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.